I play Malta on a Friday night, Macedonia on a Monday. All right, cool. I don't have to go 100% intensity and stuff here.
The Fantasy Football Show.
All right, patrons. It's Monday. Monday, James. Monday with
nice
football.
Nice of you to join us. Says the
no
guy.
Football.
Says the guy who skipped a podcast on Friday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What a good job you two did.
I didn't even register how long we'd been talking for until Clayton said hour.
Literally, my shock.
But it was 27. I looked at the thing and it was like 27 minutes. It happens all the time, even when we record. And I think, oh, that's right. It's fine on time. You blink, and the next thing you know, it's like 57 minutes. You're like, where did that suddenly jump up?
You must have been enjoying yourselves.
Oh, I can't even remember what shit we chatted
about,
mate.
I got sent a file and I was like, I wonder if they made half hour.
Nah.
And I opened the file and I was like, what's happened here? I was like, do you know my first instinct was? I bet they didn't talk about football. I bet Clayton got bullied into talking about office stuff.
Let's do some questions that we've had in on the Slack channel. Starting with Aaron. What value of stuff do you think you have stolen through creative accounting at self-checkouts and self-scan in your lifetime? I'm going to say 200 quid, maybe, tops. It's a very stab-in-the-dark kind of number.
My wife, she always says to me things like, they mischarged something, that's their fucking fault.
Yeah.
Or they priced something up wrong. Or yeah. But no, me, no, I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy.
Self-scan. I've been enjoying very cheap chicken wings from Ocado. They're mispriced. £1.49 a pack. They should definitely be about 4 quid.
Okay.
Yeah. But like Kate, you said...
You're such a fucking hustler, aren't you?
If you see a deal, you got to take it. Dave Brain. Do you think League One should now be included in a full fixture postponement of international breaks?
There's possibly a case for it. I think it was only 2 of 12 went ahead, I think.
Wow.
And in the National League, even, I think Southend beat Chesterfield, but I think they had 4 players called up for international duty.
Oh, wow.
And because there was all late notice, the National League didn't give them permission to postpone the game. I think they won, I want to say, despite that, which is a bit of a credit to them, because Chesterfield have been top of that league.
8
as well.
Fixtures out of 36 have been played during international breaks. That's very low.
8 out of...
It's a quarter.
Oh, across probably the 3 breaks, see.
Yeah, across the 3 international.
So it's less than 3 as an average. I mean, on that basis, then, yeah. Yes. The thing is, though, if you can get these games on for these clubs, they're liable to get a little bit more in attendance than they normally would, right? Because the Prem and the Championship clubs ain't playing, and so they might get some of that support. Oh, what am I doing this weekend? I'll go and watch some of these games. So it's a bit of a catch-22. So if it can go ahead at a weekend, you know my opinion on that. If you can get a football game on the weekend, you should get it on the weekend.
Yep. Dave Beaton says, is it right that Russia got banned from international football when several other countries have committed multiple war crimes over the last few decades with no or little punishment? And he says, I am most definitely pro-Ukraine for avoidance of doubt.
I don't even know how to begin to answer that.
Yeah, it's mad. He's raising a fair point.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And it again goes to show how much of it is posturing for the media as opposed to actually trying to have an impact. And even rule breaking that countries have got away with and they don't get banned or blocked from international support.
Should Israel, in your opinion, be playing football at the moment?
That's a very good question. Should Ukraine?
Yeah. I mean, I'm answering your question. I don't know the answer.
Is the question, if you're in a state of war, if your country's in a declared war, then you shouldn't be playing international sport. But the players are not in the middle of the war. The players are not fighting
true.
The war. So.
And I guess from Ukraine's, there was no choice to start that.
Yeah.
For them. Yeah, do you know what? It is conflicting. No one's defending Russia here, but I get the point of the question, and it is a very fair question, and I don't really know how best to answer it other than to say, yeah, should countries that are at war or at conflict be playing football, but then you'd even date back to things like England and the Falklands and stuff like that. Like, should we have been playing? Like, fuck. Yep.
FPL Hall of Fame. Firstly, Ait Nouri or Dawson, if you want a Wolves player. I'm replacing Porro for one, so I can get Palmer in midfield. I'm tempted to go Ait Nouri this week. Would you roll and play Porro before doing Dawson and Palmer in 14?
Well, there's no point buying Dawson this week because he's suspended. Yeah. So that's completely irrelevant.
So that's why he'd go Ait Nouri this week.
But also, if you want to invest in Wolves, who are Wolves playing? Is Fulham away? I'd still rather play Pedro, I think, to be honest. So, yeah, I'd come back to it. Then in 14, Wolves go to Arsenal, so you're not starting it. So, unless it's two, who's the defender getting sold, does it say?
Porro.
I mean, you wouldn't start... Who would you start in 14? So, would you start Ait Nouri at Arsenal or Porro at Man City?
Probably Ait Nouri, I don't know.
Probably play Porro, wouldn't you?
Porro, probably, take a few the attacking. Yeah.
He might take a few corners and that. Yeah, maybe. Probably would.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Matt Bryant, starting to think about what a Game Week 19 wildcard would look like to avoid having to do too much last-minute thinking on Christmas Boxing Day. What teams and players are you thinking of targeting? Are you going to do a Game Week 19 wildcard special when we get close to it? Matt, I don't want to think about it then. He wants to think about it now.
I have put in the schedule, which I will send you later today, Suj.
Okay.
A podcast in for Friday, the 22nd of December, on my wild card. There you go.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we'll, and it might even be I'll do that as a solo or whatever. Anyway, so yeah, we'll do something at a time because I won't be the only one that strategy. There'll clearly be others as well. Wildcard 19. So I think it'd be worth sharing. I certainly wouldn't be overthinking now though, in terms of, oh, I'm going to decide what to do now, so I don't have to think about it in the future, because you will, I'm afraid to tell you, because there will be injuries, there will be doubts, there will be stuff that happens near the time. So, like, I haven't looked at it at all in terms of, like, ooh, what would a team be that I'd put in? There's certain players I can tell you that I'd say, yeah, probably will be a part of that in terms of teams to target from 19. So City's obvious, Brentford obviously if the double happens, but I think there's a few fixtures with it starting anyway. Wolves, Palace, Forest is a nice three that I'd maybe target it anyway. Chelsea's a given. Villa, there'll be interest. Brighton, maybe. Fulham could be enablers. Tottenham will be of interest. Arsenal will be of interest. They're the main ones.
Billy Hadaway, is it just me, or has Suj started hating on Spurs a lot more recently? He used to be pretty neutral, but have noticed a lot more digs or negative comments in the past few months. Is it jealousy? Basically, yeah. Like, the better you do, the better you do, the more annoying you are. It's straightforward and simple. You have the same problem with Arsenal, no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah,
the better they do, the more annoying they are. I don't mind if we're shit, as long as you're shit with us. If you're top of the league and we're losing games, that's not good.
Premier League years last night from last season, which I hadn't seen before. It's obviously recent, so it's not anything.
How long is one episode? 90 minutes?
2 hours, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
So I watched it last night, and you do reflect on some of them wins Arsenal had and think, oh my God, this was so horrendous to go through. I'm watching it and I'm thinking, get to April, even though Tottenham falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
I'm like, show me Arsenal fucking up. And it is the same. When Arsenal were finishing eighth, them losing don't mean so much, right?
Yeah,
they lost to Everton last year, and when they fucked a few other things up, it was like, celebrate this like a little bit more. So yeah, to be honest, it is a little bit like that. It's a little 100%. Bit like... footballers who get booed, right? Why do they mainly get booed? Because they're pretty fucking good, right? No one boos the average player unless they've given a reason to be booed. If someone's just getting booed at the start of a game, it's either because they used to play for you, they used to play for a rival, or because they're fucking good, right? Ronaldo used to rock up at White Hart Lane and just get booed because it was good, right? Yeah. So. There's a little bit of that, which I'd to be honest, to take as a compliment. It probably was a little bit of a, no one was expecting it to carry
surprise.
On, but a little bit like with Arsenal last year, you're like, And you're right. Put a fucking sock in it now, probably, basically.
Darren Malloy, why do farts inside a shower smell different to other farts? Right,
didn't you cover this on Friday's differential show?
We talked about it. I don't think farts
in a shower don't make a difference.
Yeah, I
don't. Farts don't in a really bath, surely.
Yeah, probably.
Farts in a bath, why do they smell differently? It's the fact that it's getting spread through water, I suppose, through
perhaps
it's gas into liquid rather than gas into gas, I guess, when it's in air.
Coon says, have you ever had hospitality at a football game, and is there any that stood out? Appears a lot easier for myself to get tickets with hospitality for a game coming from outside the UK. That's probably right.
It is right.
Yeah.
Subject to where you're going, obviously.
Where have you been hospitality?
Nowhere, I don't think.
I have been to West Ham once.
Tell a little bit of a lie. Little known one for you. Technically, I've been in Eddie Hearn's box at Arsenal.
Oh, lovely.
So the bookies I used to work for used to run the gig at Arsenal in terms of the match day operation, the gambling operation. And they offered me to run the show, as in run the match day operation at the Emirates. And I've told this story before. They couldn't understand why I turned it down. So, I mean, you love football, and yeah, but I hate them. And what do you think I'm going to do when Tottenham are playing at the same time? Yep. Yeah, but there'll be a way, right? You still don't think at this time it would have been in the pub, right? Or you either go, or the 3 o'clocks were easily accessible in the pub. It's like, I'm not doing that. Oh, well, you can do it sometimes. I was like, stop this nonsense, right? But anyway, I went down there for one game to see how the operation worked. They played Huddersfield in an FA Cup. And I went because Tottenham were playing like 4 hours later at Fulham. Anyway, so I went, and someone said that they knew Eddie Hearn and said, come on, watch from the box. And he had literally right behind the goal in like their middle tier. Great little spot. Didn't speak to him. He was sitting right down the front. I just stood at the back. So I suppose that would be closest. But no, in terms of me having a corporate, no. But didn't you have it at West Ham the other year?
I've done West Ham.
You sat near the Chelsea.
Yeah. And I've done it at Upton Park. I had another mate who had a box there. We used to sneak. What happens is you're allowed a certain number of people, I think, for food and drink in the box, because you still got to pay for food and drink. But what he used to do is sneak us, me and my brother in, Julian his name was, and we'd drink in his box. And then when the game was going to start, we'd kick out and we'd go back down to our seats, which was around the other side.
We had one.
I've been to Chelsea, corporate. It's all right. I feel like I've been to the Lane as well, corporate. The old chateau.
We had a situation, the penultimate year at White Hart Lane, we played Dortmund in the UEFA Cup. And we had 3 tickets and we only got 2. And they fucked up. They discounted my mum's points, so we only had 2 tickets. By luck and chance, we managed to get a 3rd ticket before we went through. You know, you ask people and shit happens. But to compensate us, they offered us a game like in a box at White Hart Lane. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I want to sit with the crowd.
Yeah.
So, I'd probably feel a bit different. Maybe feel a bit different about it now, because it could, for example, literally be almost right below where I sit now, so it wouldn't maybe be that much of a difference, for example. But no, I'd want to be with a crowd. There's certain ones though, like say when I went to Palace the other week, and you look above the Sainsbury's end and they've got like boxes up the top, and you think, I'd happily go and sit up there and have a decent view of this football match. So it'd maybe be more one I'd maybe consider away from home rather than at home. So for me, the answer is no and never.
Andrew Grondin, would you rather get caught releasing the most heinous vomit-inducing silent fart, everyone finds out, or get away with releasing the wettest, dirtiest shit fart, no one else ever knows?
Yeah, well, that's happened.
So it's got to be the second one, isn't it? Clearly. It's easy enough to incinerate a pair of boxers, right? They can get fucking destroyed.
I don't believe anyone. If anyone had said, I've never shit myself, I don't believe it. It's impossible. Have you never shit yourself?
People have, when you get diarrhea, like you could be sick it's fucking all the time.
Yeah, not but all the even time, just but
when you're
like,
sick, it can happen.
Yeah, I know you fart and It's an accident. Shot. And yeah, exactly that. And you just...
Jarvo, what's the worst DJ name you've ever heard? I found a contender. He's talking about Jack Grealish going by DJ Grillo.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going to see him anytime soon. Sam O'Sullivan, given Everton's FFP sanction, do National League clubs need to increase their away ends when Chelsea and Manchester City are sent down here? I think it will take two or three more weeks and they'll be out of the relegation zone again.
What, Chelsea and City?
Everton.
Yeah, me and Clayton, when we talk about it tomorrow, obviously me and Clayton touched on it a little bit and said, like, I'm pretty confident they'd stay up as long as... Two things I said was, A, they avoid serious injuries. You know, suddenly you lose, like, Calvert-Lewin, Branthwaite, stuff like that. Okay, maybe there's a bit of a drama. But keep the key players fit through the spine and stuff, they'll be fine. And the only other thing would be, like, if Burnley could actually find themselves. I can't foresee Everton not finishing above those three teams.
Yeah, I agree.
To be honest, if they'd have put Everton on zero, if they'd have given minus 15 or no, we're on minus one, I'd still think... that it'd probably be all right. Because I just think, in a weird way, and again, we'll probably talk about it tomorrow, like Everton obviously have the right to appeal, and I can get the angst and anger amongst Everton fans. But fuck me, are you luckiest this season at the same time? It's almost like... There is a little bit of me, and we might debate it tomorrow, almost feels like... And I get you should appeal, right? Because you are putting yourselves in trouble you wouldn't be in. But take it for the fucking team and let the rest get slaughtered for this, right? Yeah, yeah. A little bit. So, yeah, I think I can't see Everton getting relegated.
Me too.
Can't see it.
Kuhn says, which two at Gabriel, Cash, Udogi and Kabore would you play in game week 13?
Who have Luton got?
I don't know. But I know Gabriel is Brentford.
Gabriel I'd play.
Cash versus Udogi is Tottenham versus Villa at your place. I'd play Cash over Udogi.
It's close, that. It probably depends on, you know, get to Friday and what's your prediction of the game. I feel like...
Would you go Kabore against...
Fuck it.
Yeah, I'd play Gabriel and Cash for what it's worth.
Nah, fuck it. I mean, to be honest, if you're fearing... Udogi and Cash, right, realistically, they're in your team anyway for the offensive stuff. Play them generally, but I would pick Gabriel over both. That's fair, as Clayton pointed out today as well. You know, you get more Arsenal clean sheets away from home for one reason or not as well. Depends on what you think the Tottenham Villa game will be. I would, even though I would make Villa slight favourites, I'd arguably lean into Udogi just from a home advantage perspective.
Sam O'Sullivan, did either of you watch England versus Malta? And if you did, what were your thoughts? I didn't watch it. Couldn't be bothered.
Wow.
Boring.
I went from watching the best game I'd seen in years to the worst in the space of a week from Chelsea-Man City to that game.
Wow.
It was... Do you know what? Malta deserved credit because, you know what? They didn't actually just sit off. They did actually try and press England at times. And I think it shocked England that they had to go backwards so much. I think they were thinking we'll just be camped in their half. They had to go backwards a lot because Malta actually came out and pressed quite well, I thought. Yeah, it was awful. It was just dead.
Was it 2-0?
And I've got no blame on the players. Tonight will be boring as well.
North Macedonia.
They've won the group. They've pissed it. They've earned the right to have the shit game. I saw again all the moaning about the lineup before it started. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the four knockout games, if that's how many we have, or however many knockout games we do have next year, because we'll get out the group at Euros as well. You fucking shit if you don't, basically, and it'd be a disaster if we didn't. All that matters is what we do when we hit them knockouts next summer. Everything between now and then is fucking irrelevant, unfortunately. You've got no interest in it either. It's like, I watched it, and I watched it because I was sitting on the sofa feeling sick and feeling sorry for myself anyway. That didn't fucking help. And it's like, oh, there's nothing else to fucking do. I'll watch it. If Tottenham had been playing a friendly, I'd be like, oh, yeah, we're looking forward to, even with all the injuries we've got. There's literally no buzz for that at all. The players don't want to be there. But it's irrelevant, isn't it? For every single one of them there, the club game they've got this weekend is more important. Even the ones like, oh, I'm trying to get in the squad and stuff. Like, motivating yourself. He's tough shit, man. honestly, and the calendar needs looking at properly. That for the big nations, and I realise there might be one or two might miss out on Euros, but for a nation like England not to qualify for the Euros, you've got to be fucking hopeless not to qualify. And we actually had a challenging group with Ukraine and Italy this time, and we're still fucking pissed at it. Yeah.
Jarvo, I have a niggling thought in my mind about effective ownership and captaincy. Last game week, Salah and Haaland both scored 16 points. I captained Salah. Did Salah captain help me more, or did Haaland not being my captain hurt me more due to EO?
You want to answer that?
Even though both ended up on the same points.
It sounds complicated. It's not. It's fucking difference.
You've ended up with the same points.
Exactly that.
So that's why it's cancelled itself out.
It's no fucking difference. You've got same points. There's nothing in it. If anything, you've benefited over people like me who don't have Salah. Mm. That's it. It makes absolutely no difference.
Haaland's effective ownership
is overthinking.
Higher than Salah's, then Salah's points are worth more.
It's
over, from a rank point of view.
Overthinking. You've got the same points. And in the same way, right, I've got a green despite no Salah because I've had Tsimikas 15, Saliba 9, right, which a lot of others didn't have. So between that, that's 24. So that's what's got me the green over the last week. So it's honestly really, really overthinking. We can get a little bit obsessed about this with EO and stuff. Points. You're not worse off. It's points. You've got the same either way, so it makes no difference.
John Jakobsen, James, can you remember much
probably
about the 12-point Spurs deduction in the mid-90s and how easy it was overturned? Asking for a friend, obviously, he's a toffee.
Yeah, look, we can't take... I did say I'd talk about this a bit on Tot and Arse with Clates on Wednesday because I thought it'd probably be an interesting discussion point. But what I would say is we can't take any comparisons from what happened 28 years ago or 29 years ago to what's going on with Everton now. For a start, it was the FA Premier League then as well, right? So it was all FA governed in the sense that Tottenham were banned from the FA Cup at a 12-point deduction, which eventually they got it all overturned. When you even think back to the fine was £600,000, which at the time was a decent sum of money. So I think that's more than what Tottenham got for selling Klinsmann the following summer. But eventually it ended up with being a £1.5 million fine, and they got the points back and got reinstated in the FA Cup, and it felt fated we'd win it. Until ironically, we were completely dismantled by Everton at Elland Road in the semi-final. So unfortunately, there's no comparisons you can make on it. Was it easy for Tottenham to overturn? Yeah. Sugar was buddies with them anyway, right? To be honest. We'll talk about it a bit on Wednesday.
Gary Mantle, what's the biggest pasting you've ever taken in a match you've played in? Mine is 21-0, and it wasn't even while I was a child. I've definitely lost games of rugby at school by triple digits, more than 100 points.
Wow.
Yeah, we were shit, my school rugby. You get some schools that just fucking bulldozer you because the kids are just giants.
There's more that we won by stupid scores than lost. But I remember we played this team called Puma, who there were a few of them on the books of Chelsea and a few around that era, Wimbledon, I think. I think like half the team was on forms with like pro clubs and stuff. They played like teams play now. This is going back to, I'm going back when I'm like 12. But this is kind of mid-90s, sort of 96, 97, roughly. I remember losing one. We lost them. We played them twice. We lost 4-0 one game. And they battered us, but we defended well. And then they beat us 10-0. We couldn't get the fucking ball off them, mate. They probably played like a proper football team. Like, kept the ball, played out from the back, everything, even goal kick, short or not. This was like mid-90s. Fucking pro clubs weren't doing it back then. They were different level. They were way too good for us. I remember the plenty we slapped the other way, though. I remember the final year I played for my Sunday team. And we asked to move league because we started... the league disbanded. And then they put us in a league with... it didn't disband, but there weren't enough teams re-registered or something. So they threw us in with the year above us, but it was even easier. So I think the first five games, we won 11-0 and I scored twice. That tells you how fucking ridiculous it was. 11-0. We turned up for one game, we won 6-0. We only had 10 men. We won another game 10-0. And then I remember I went out and got pissed on a Saturday night at a party in Marylebone. I'm 14. Turned up drunk the next morning. It was the first time I'd ever done it. And we were 10-0 up at half time. We went on, we won 20-0. I took my shirt off at half time and said, let someone else have a go. It's a waste of fucking time. My dad didn't speak to me for a week. I've regretted it badly. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But I was like, there's no point. I'm playing holding midfield, right? This is my position. But I might as well play sweeper by myself because everyone's just going forward. It's like a free-for-all. It's like, this isn't fucking enjoyable. It's ridiculous. I was like, yeah, let someone else have a go. At the same time, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm fucking pouring with sweat here. Like, get me off the pitch. And we played one more game in the league. I was like, there's no point in this. We're winning like fucking 10-0 every week. It's no fun. We played our own team the year above us. The next week, the final game before we got moved into another league, 21-1 we beat them. They were all a year older than us.
Mad.
Fucking destroyed them.
Poon says, as a business owner myself, I'm curious to find out more about Suji's business ventures and experience from the start until today. Could there ever be a pod about that? We can chat about that. Maybe during Christmas. Let's see, you're doing the schedule. If there's some downtime for patrons, we'll just do a put the pod on it at some point.
Sign in Vaynerworld, obviously, if you haven't listened to it, it's go back and listen to listen.
That. That's there somewhere in the back catalogue. FPL Frog, Uber Eats, Deliveroo, Just Eat, Shag, Marry, Kill.
I think killing Uber Eats would probably be good for me.
I don't use Uber Eats, so I'm happy to kill Uber Eats.
Really? I'm the opposite. I'm kind of only really Uber Eats.
Deliveroo is a marry and Just Eat is a shag. Because Deliveroo has all the better restaurants. So if you want your good old-fashioned, traditional, decent food, this is Deliveroo.
This is marry. Where we're really learning about me.
Just Eat is kebabs.
Someone, I'm on Uber Eats. I'm
just,
on the shit
just
ones.
Just Eat is kebabs.
So Deliveroo, I probably don't shag. Use much. So
don't want Just Eat all the time.
Nah, Deliveroo's the shag for me.
Just Eat's
kill. Deliveroo, I really struggle with their app and stuff. Fucking hate it. I find Uber Eats really easy and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I'm going to say marry Uber Eats.
Jarvo, should teams be beaten 14-0 in international football? I think this comes back to James's argument that pointless international fixtures, blah, blah, blah. Should there be tiers of different levels for competitions for international teams, like the Euro 2024 Conference League or something?
Look, fair game to them, right? Because Gibraltar, because they had a player sent off after like 15 minutes or something, and already 3-0 down, and you know what's coming. Right, it's just, can the opposition be bothered or stuff? Someone tweeted me at half time and said, oh, France start using their subs. I'm like, have you seen their bench, mate? Their bench is better than most teams in the world comfortably. Look, it kind of goes back to my point about, and do you know what? Malta did all right against England, right? But these games are a waste of everybody's fucking time. I seen my dad on Saturday and we was talking about it. And I know we've got a few people in here who went to the game and stuff. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why you go. The only case I could make to my dad, I said to my dad, it's like if Harry was interested, that'd be like a great first England game to take him to, right? Friday night, he's not got to worry about school the next morning, and England will probably win by shitloads, and it'll probably be fun, and like he'll love it, and whatever, great. But otherwise, what the fuck are you bothering for with that shit? And I don't know what the ticket pricing was. Yeah, probably pretty fair. But basically, fucking friendly against more 80,000 there. Fucking nutters. Fair games here. These games are shit for everyone. That said, at the same time, the players are playing too much intense football. And this is why like I don't want to get on their backs for the performance Friday and stuff. Because this is like a fucking holiday. I play Malta on a Friday night, Macedonia on a Monday. All right, cool. I don't have to go 100% intensity and stuff here. It probably feels like that for the players, a little bit of a break and stuff. There's a lot I'd love to do with international football. And listen, Macedonia is different, actually, in the sense, you know, knocked Italy out and qualified a couple of years ago. And Malta weren't terrible. They were when we played them in the summer. But these San Marinos, Gibraltars and stuff like that, yeah, do you know what? They've got a right to be there and stuff, but earn the right to play these best teams, because it's fucking wasting everybody's time. Nobody wants them games. I'm not even sure those teams want those games. Like, other than, like, for a San Marino player, if you get to play at Wembley or you get to play against these players, don't get me wrong, there's obviously prestige in that. But it can't be fun for them getting slapped tens and shit every time they fucking play.
I agree. Like,
fucking hell.
Last question of the show, James, goes to Gary Mantle. It's a long one. When Raheem Sterling scored his correctly ruled out goal versus Spurs, if he'd crossed to Palmer to score instead, would they have still ruled it out for handball, as he's no longer the scorer? Is that something we can expect to see players getting wise to? If they've accidentally handballed in the build-up, how long until we see an attacker with an open goal refusing to score and instead of that waiting for a teammate to pass to? Tim says, jumping in on the thread, I think it would also get ruled out. Didn't Laporte have a headed goal ruled out against Spurs for a Jesus accidental handball a few seconds ago?
The rules changed since then, though.
Okay.
So with that one, that grazed Laporte's arm, fell to Jesus, he scored against us, was disallowed, because then that was when they'd first brought it in. It was like, if it touches a hand and it leads to a goal, then it's off.
Gary's jumped in. He said, didn't they change the rule because it meant too many goals were getting ruled out for accidental handball?
So the problem is, and this is the biggest failing with handball rule at the moment, is none of us truly understand it anymore. It's overcomplicated in many ways. My understanding on this one would be that the goal would be disallowed because Sterling would have gained a clear advantage, in the sense that he takes a shot, the shot gets blocked, and the ball would be going back past him, but because his arm is in an unnatural position and strikes him basically on the hand and then falls back into his path, everyone thinks that's handball. You've gained a clear advantage. If he then passes it to his mate, they go, well, no, that's illegal. Now, if his arm was by his side and it hit him like flat on, say, the back of his arm, and his arm's by his side, and obviously shoots and he scores, then it obviously wouldn't count. The point of the question there is, like, if that happens and it's clearly unintentional, like, and it just hits his arm and bounces back, yeah, he's got to cross the ball. It's actually pretty dumb for a footballer to shoot under that circumstance at the moment when, and I realise you've got seconds to react, but literally, you should almost be kicking the ball away from goal rather than kicking it at goal. There's no advantage you're going to get from that. So it's just wrong, isn't it? He's wrong that we can have this law, and I get it, like certain ones where if it hits someone's hand and it's scored directly, I agree. I don't think anyone's too comfortable with that. But in the same thing with that with Sterling, what, he passes it 3 yards to his right and someone's got a tap in and they score. It's almost like the same thing, isn't it? So then what do? So then they rewrite more laws and more words into laws that overcomplicate shit. There's a very, very simple fix for handballs. It's called common fucking sense. Yeah. We'll fix it quite a lot if we trust referees a little bit, which I know a lot of you will think, well, they can't be trusted. But yeah, if we can go back to common sense a little bit, we'd all get similar decisions way more often. I'm certain of it.
That's a wrap, James. That's all the questions. Thank you, patrons, for questions coming in. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Everton's the main pod, isn't it?
Yeah. You don't know what we're doing on the Patreon pod yet.
No.
We're going to go downstairs. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay. That's good. Let's do it. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child. Fantasy Football Show.